Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting RadioLeMans.com.
This is RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's still afternoon, isn't it? Just after 4 o'clock here at Mount Panorama, Bathurst, for the 2023 Liqui Moly Bathurst 12 Hours. John Heindorf, along with Richard Creel and Shay Adam, down in the pit lane for our fourth practice session for this year's endurance, Australia's international endurance race. 40 minutes on the clock. That is pretty much what we've had for all of the other sessions. This is an all-skate. No conditions attached to this particular session. We'll get down to Shay for some breaking news at the moment of a bit of change on the entry list, and it's got some repercussions, I'll tell you that. We're live trackside at Mount Panorama Bathurst. You're listening to RS1 and Around the Circuit on 103.9 FM.
Live from Bathurst, this is RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
So, Shay Adam, a bit of drama down in the pit lane, well, and a bit of horse trading, or should I say horsepower trading, going on down there.
Very well done, John. Yes, the number 50 has transformed from a KTM into an Audi. David Crompton, back with you again, back at the mountain. This is not the steed that you were expecting to drive in the 12-hour.
Not at all. You know, we had a really great plan with the KTM, and unfortunately, we still don't know what exactly went wrong. We've shifted it up a gear. And luckily Audi had a spare car for us, and so we just make it happen. The guys have worked so hard for the last however long, so we just got to make this happen.
You've made the best of a bad situation, yeah. And by jumping into an Audi, this car has to be much more comfortable to drive. I'm just thinking from driver comfort standpoint in terms of the accessories you're given.
Well, surprising enough, it's harder to get in than KTM.
Really?
Well, for me it is. Maybe I'm just used to it. So, yeah. But anyway, it's going to be a big, steep learning curve. We're lucky to get this practice session in today and again tomorrow. So, yeah, the game is let's finish this 12-hour.
A couple of hours for you, in essence, tomorrow. But you were telling me that you've had to cut out a driver from the squad.
Yeah, that's right. So there's now three of us. And unfortunately, Jaden, you know, who's done a fantastic job this morning, they can't run three silvers and a bronze. So it's now two silvers and me. So.
Well, you'll make them proud, and I'm sure when you get the trophy and the champagne, you'll share some of it with them.
Oh, 100%. It's not going to be the last rodeo for him. Okay. Yeah, so all good.
Well, hey, go enjoy the new steed, and we'll catch up with you later.
All right. Thank you.
So the number remains the same. The KTM, instead of being powered by a four-cylinder Audi engine, has now five-cylinder Audi engine, the straight five. It's now been transformed into two of those V10 engine in the same place.
Well, the five-cylinder Audi engine is literally the Audi V10 with half cut off. So they've just welded that bank back onto the side.
Not quite.
There you go.
No.
It's good afternoon to you, by the way.
Yes, Krilzy.
It is. I'm just so proud of these race teams for the way they continually strive way above and beyond what is often necessary or even sane in some respects to keep cars on the racetrack and stay in the race. And I went down and saw Dave just before when we found that this was happening, and he said, we've come this far, the money's been spent for us to go and lease a car to get back into it. We'd rather do that than pack up and go home, because we're already here. We've invested everything in the first place.
Now, that car, being the GT2 concept, was an invitational class. And there was we reported on this in the last session. There was a conversation going on at race control about the regulations and what you could have done with changing manufacturer, changing class. That will require a class change for that car, and that's why the driver lineup has had to change.
Yeah, they'll go into silver, which is the third of the three GT3 classes.
Right, so that is now a GT3 entry.
Yes.
Rather than an invitational.
Correct, but in the silver category, you cannot have three silver drivers. You have to have one bronze and two silvers if you're running four drivers. So, unfortunately, young Jaden, who is a star of the sport moving forward, he's a really fast, talented young guy. He's been doing a bit of supercar racing. He's got a great personality. He's a really talented young guy. Unfortunately, he misses out, but he will be the role of driver coach for the rest of the weekend. He'll get on the headset and work with the team, which is David Crampton, who's driving, plus a couple of really experienced hands in the forms of Trent Harrison and Glenn Wood.
We believe it was a blown engine stroke turbo query on that car.
They had engine dramas with that car for a lot of last season, and they could not find out what it was. So in the off-season, KTM air-freighted them an entirely new driveline for that car from Austria. Mm. And unfortunately, he got to turn two in practice two earlier today, and it went bango again.
They are absolutely incredible in terms of how much horsepower they get out of that straight five engine. It's got great sound. Mm. I love off-kilter numbers. I've got a three-cylinder motorbike and a five-cylinder car. It's a similar sort of offbeat thrum to it. The GT2 was originally going to have the four-cylinder engine, but KTM couldn't get the power out of it for this GT2 concept. So they went to the straight five. And as soon as you see a straight five from the Audi, you think quattro, don't you?
Yes, yeah, totally. David did say we're really disappointed because, A, the car was going really well, and Jaden O'Jay did a low 208 in practice one this morning, which is very handy for that car. And he also said, I was quicker in a straight line than Valentino Rossi, so I'll take that any day of the week. And last year in this race, the KTM was comfortably the quickest car down Conrad Straight in terms of straight line speed.
So 1,045 kilos, that car, and somewhere in the region, give or take, of 600 horsepower.
And less aero than a GT3 car, so less drag, therefore more slippery through the air. So it's a shame, but we remain at 26 cars as the field rolls out of pit lane. Just to finish on that point of teams going above and beyond, it's the second year in a row that Audi Sport Racing Australia, Melbourne Performance Centre, headed up by Troy Russell, have gone above and beyond. This time it was a car in the back of the paddock that they'd had here as a backup vehicle for their fleet to potentially pinch parts off if they needed. They've now gone, yep, get out there. And if I know Troy Russell, there's been a deal done. They'll lease the car, but he'll go, look, we'll work all that out later. Just get the thing in your garage, get it prepped, get ready so you can get on the racetrack. Such great team spirit. But 9 months ago, Theo Condouris had a massive crash at Reed Park at the top of the hill.
You wrote off, said a year there, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I had to think about it. Wrote off the Superbarn car. So they, from Melbourne, drove another chassis up, rebuilt it overnight, upgraded it to Evo spec, and got the car in the race. And they got to the end. So that team doing outstanding things, and well done to Troy and all the boys and girls down there at MPC.
Too soon to nominate them for Spirit of the Weekend?
Well, you know, already strong, isn't it? The spirit is strong in them. Hashtag B12HR at RSL_studio today as well, across the weekend actually. 103.9 here at the track and around the world on RS1, part of the Radio Show Limited network of audio and video channels. Beautiful weather. We have had it just been doing a bit of filming for the guys from in pit lane down in the paddock. And all right, we were sitting in the shade, but it's absolute, for me, this temperature is just exactly where I needed to be. Absolutely lovely.
Bang on 21 degrees ambient at the moment. The wind a little bit less than it was earlier in practice. So these are peak conditions, and this should be something of a happy 40 minutes. It's a quick fix for your Friday afternoon. And right now, a majority of the pros are shown as being behind the wheel. Maxi Gotts behind the wheel of car 888. Super cheap auto entry. Jamie Wincup behind the wheel of 99 from 888. Raffaele Marchiello, who it's so cool to have back at this place. He's one of the most exciting internationals we've had here and always delivers something spectacular for Group M Racing. Alex Davison is driving the prostate cancer research car. Brenton Grove out behind the wheel of car number four. Josh Hunt gets his first laps I can't remember the last time he drove a racing car in Australia, but it's cool to see Josh, a guy that at one point was on the road to Indy and Indy Lights, the original Indy Lights when it was Champ Car back in the day. Christian Pancione's driving the Invitational Class, number 19 car. Dean Fiore is behind the wheel of car 9, the Hallmark Audi that was crashed earlier in the day with Mark Cini behind the wheel. Mattia Drudi behind the wheel of the 74 factory Audi in the Pro Class. So that will go quickly. And Sheldon van der Linde behind the wheel of 32. That's the WRT BMW with the Shell livery. And he finally gets his first taste of Mount Panorama, having been the frustrated younger brother of the VDL brothers. Older brother Kelvin's been here plenty of times and had some success and always gone quickly. Sheldon's always been watching on from Germany. But finally, the 2022 DTM champion, Germany's top series, now finds himself at Mount Panorama behind the wheel of the BMW M Team WRT entry. So the M4's looking good, and we look forward to seeing what young Sheldon can do.
They're pressed against each other, of course, in DTM, amongst other things. DTM, when it was including when it was GT3 cars. Yes. Big change to that championship, of course. It's been sort of folded into GT Masters. I have to say, I missed the big bangers of the ITC days and those races. That was outstanding stuff. But the Class 1 cars were absolutely stunning. And I often wondered if it wouldn't have been a good idea to make those into endurance cars and make a class for them at Le Mans. You know what we're doing at Le Mans now with the GTPs and the LMHs cars. They want cars to look more like the road cars. They could have just had the group on Class 1 cars. And the irony of that, of course, is the engine from the BMW Class 1 DTM car, the big V8, is what's powering their new prototype.
Yes. So ironies, isn't it?
Yeah. So they did have the longevity.
I wish that those plans to create a common formula across Super GT in Japan and DTM had come off, because that would have been really cool. And they did those couple of trial races.
I was at the Hockenheim ring when they did that.
That was such a great idea, and it's just such a shame that it never actually happened.
Yeah, with the Super GT cars turned up the max, so they were putting flames of about 3'3" out of the sides every time they changed up or down. All right, we're into the session. Coming up to 6 minutes of this 40 minute session, so we're starting to get a few times coming through. Lucas Stoltz got down to where we were earlier on, 208. We're looking for something in this session, I would think, with the pro drivers in. What, sub 205? Are you expecting that, Grilsey?
Well, they did a 4.0 earlier in the day. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep. New tyres. Good ambient temperature. 21 degrees local. Track temp up. Having been bathed in beautiful sunlight all day. And this is the time of day when, in 24 hours' time, we roll out for part one of the two parts of the Pirelli shootout.
Yeah.
The bottom 50%. So, five cars will run. Remember, this year we're carrying on that format that was introduced at the very last minute last year, but turned out to be a spectacular success. So something unique for this race now from a qualifying standpoint. Five cars go first for 15 minutes, 5 minute break, then the fast five go out for another 15 minutes, and it produces great theatre. And this is the time. This is when they'll be running around in 24 hours' time, so a good opportunity to get some information about track conditions with the forecast for tomorrow. Slightly warmer than it was today, so the ambient temperature up a little bit, but pretty relative.
I got in the middle of the night to watch that. I found it tremendously entertaining.
I frankly would have been disappointed had you not. I'm not going to lie. It was a very cool session. Done at the last minute due to the fact it was minus 25 degrees at the time. And with the Pirelli tyre of last year, everyone was battling to get tyre temperature, and it was lap 6 or 7 before they'd have any semblance of outright pace.
Got a black flag.
Yes, which from race control was for, and as always at Bathurst, it never rains but it pours. It's for car 50.
Of course it is.
For Trent Harrison behind the wheel, for showing for not having
a transponder.
But he has. They must be manually timing him, because he is actually on the timing screen, but they'll need to get that in. And that will be one of those little tiny little things that in the rush to swap everything over from the KTM into the Audi, they may, and look, it may have not been connected, it may have not been put in.
And already
it's in the lane now.
By the way, it is a mostly white and red car with a bit of black on it, with the Chevron design.
It's not fundamentally different from the KTM in terms of livery, is it?
It's missing a bit of orange at the back and the big KTM written on the side, obviously.
Oh, yes. I don't know how Audi would take to that.
Partners.
They are, aren't they? Maybe it'd be all right. It's actually quite a good looking race car.
Also still showing us an invitation entry on live timing, I've just noticed, as well. That will get changed over to silver.
Well, that would be because the transponder's not in there, so the information's not tripping over.
All cars, there's always a fallback to manual timing. And I don't know, but I would suspect there'll be a camera sitting on the start-finish line that provides direct feed up to the timing and scoring area, and then therefore anybody can check what goes through.
The window for timing and scoring is directly overlooking the control line.
Yeah, which is smart.
2048 for Marcello, in that bright yellow Grupa M man filter Mercedes AMG. So straight to work on his third lap. Lucas Stolz is going quickly as well in the 75 Sun Energy One racing car. Kenny said earlier today, I decided on my driver lineup for this year's race 30 seconds after last year's.
Yeah.
So he was locked in from the outset.
The unmistakable sound of a whining Porsche gearbox in the background is the 912 Manti Ilea Motorsport car. That's the Pro Class green car.
Jam Jam behind the wheel, Matthew Gemini. He and Matt Campbell have been racing together as co-drivers, teammates and friends for a bit of part of 4 years now as part of the Porsche program. They've been on a very similar trajectory as juniors, haven't they? Big lift as they on their way through. He's following his drive car around. That's McPhillamy Park across the top of the mountain.
Is it green? Is it yellow? That was always the question that we asked Olaf Manti when he was still in charge of the program. Team B based just around the corner to the main straight, the Dottinger at the Nürburgring Nordschleife in a little place called Moispath. Quite a lot of automotive manufacturers have a performance centre there. And Olaf, inscrutable behind his beard, would say it's neither, it's not green or yellow. And eventually they came up with the idea it was Grello. In English, by the way, Grello, yeah. Green and yellow. Not Grüner and Gelb, which would have been the two German words for it. But Grello then stuck, and they've got merchandise, Grello merchandise now, which is great.
It's a fantastic looking car. You don't have to be a Porsche aficionado to enjoy how cool that car looks. Rafa Marcello into the threes. First driver into the threes today. 203.99 for the Grupa M car. That's its noise heading up the top through Reed Park. Lucas Stolz went second, just a tenth behind in car 75. And Dritti in the 74 Pro Audi third. Just a few interesting things. Valentino Rossi is behind the wheel of car 46. So some more valuable track time. Keep in mind, two more sessions to come tomorrow. So there's still plenty of time for the other drivers in that car to get some laps. But they're getting Valentino as much as they can on day one. So he can go and digest that. But impressively, at 2:05.2, he's already gone quicker. Such is the benefit of thinking on things for an hour or two. He's already gone quicker than he went in the earlier session today.
But that's because he's a racer.
Totally.
You know, analysing data is not something that he's unused to, and he will have been talking to his teammate, looking at the onboards. I don't think we've seen all of the cars. No, we haven't seen the sin as yet, I don't think.
25 of the 26 have run, and that includes the 50 having shown up on the timing monitor despite being black flag. That car's still in the garage at the moment. Dylan O'Keefe goes third with a 2:04.8 in the number 10 Audi. That's the Kiwi car, the International Motorsport entry. Very good lap from Dylan. Silver class entry. But Dylan's one of those drivers who could fly under the radar a smidgen. He's a silver, but Dylan's a sneaky silver, as is the saying in the sport. When you get a silver, that's probably really should be classified a pro.
We have to go back to 2016 for the qualifying lap record, a 2:01.2860, and that was SVG that set that. Not sure we'll get down to that tomorrow, but there's clearly time out there at the moment with Rafa Marciello down to a 2:03.9. That's the first sub 2:04 we've seen this week.
Yeah, will they do a 2:01.2? No, I don't think they will, but having said that, and you've got to keep in mind, 2016, so the circuit was resurfaced in 2014, so it was still a very new, relatively new surface. There's a lot of Bathurst winters between now and then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the circuit not quite as quick, but there will be time to find. And bear in mind, there's been no racing here since November, so the track will take some time to rubber in, which is the process of today. By the time they get to qualifying, it will be time to cars, understanding the Pirelli DHF tyre they're using for the first time. It'll go quicker. Definitely go quicker. Pole last year was a 2:02.4, the fast lap from Chas Mostert. So the lap times are still there. And the theory, everyone I've spoken to about it, the theory is the new tyre's half a second a lap quicker. So that puts it somewhere at a 1:08.19 pole, which is the time Mostert did the BMW track for Charlie Lamb's team in their last race here. Shay?
So is that in essence you guys asking for some quicker lap times from some quicker drivers? Because SVG heard you, put his helmet on, and then Maxi Goetz just happened to come into the pit lane. So the 888 is now back out on the racetrack with SVG behind the wheel. But I would also give you another car to watch just leaving the pit lane. Augusto Farfus, the number 46, Team WRT BMW. He's about to go out and lay down a quick one too.
We were just saying, Shay, weren't we, earlier on when we were having a chat with the pit lane guys, that in some ways, for two of those drivers, it's coming home to BMW. They've been away. The opportunities at the manufacturer that they were with perhaps weren't where they wanted it to be. So back to BMW, come full circle.
Yeah, that's exactly the case for Maxime Martin, who's still in the garage for the BMW team, waiting in his fire suit, though, so he will be given a shot during this session. For Augusto Farfus, he has been a part of the BMW program for, well, I don't want to say decades, but it feels like decades. And Augusto now being given the opportunity to drive the GTP car in IMSA for a full season, his first go of a full season of IMSA, which seems hard to believe. But Augusto coming back to the mountain with BMW, driving in a GT3 car again with BMW. A GT3 car he knows, again, from IMSA, having driven it in the endurance races with, well, arguably the biggest BMW name right now of Valentino Rossi. So a very big opportunity for both of those drivers. But let's not forget the accomplishments of the other two behind the wheel.
Yeah, and sensible thinking from BMW as well in bringing back, even from the GTP program, someone like Augusto, because he's been here before. So he gets to play. So he's plug and play. It doesn't take him a session just to get back up to or get up to speed. He can plug himself straight in. So for a new program that's never been here before, with cars they've got no local information for, it's such an important thing for them to unload and be quick from the outset. The reason we're seeing lots of drivers shuffling around, by the way, is that because this is the first opportunity we've had a hot pit lane from a refueling point of view. So there'll be some pit stop practice going on. We touched on in practice three earlier that it's an opportunity for the crews working on the cars to get up to speed in hot pit lane conditions. But it's an opportunity for the drivers to do a full race driver change and practice that. You can do it, and speaking to drivers for as long as you do, practice and practice and practice in the garage, at the workshop, at pit stop practice. It has absolutely very limited bearing on actually doing one in a race or in a hot session when you're under the pump and you're trying to execute with everything going on and tyres going on the car and fuel going in and it's hot and you're in your helmet and balaclava and race suit and there's helmet cables and drinks bottles going everywhere. So,
and you're hot and sticky.
Totally.
That's the other thing. You know, you can get the steps, if you like. You can get the choreography right doing those practices, but there's nothing like doing it for real. The engine note that you hear behind us is the BMW M4 GT3, and that is Valet behind the wheel of that car. Very relaxed going down
Conrod straight, coming down towards the turn. Oh, he spots that little sign.
That's Augusto Farfus.
That was Farfus, excuse me. That was Valet's car.
What would be the reaction if you're confusing Italian with a Brazilian? Is that a feisty sort of nations?
Yeah, I think that's...
It sounds like a really interesting game of soccer between the two of them.
Oh, cool. No, don't even go there. Really, don't even go there. We've still got just over 21 and a half minutes to go. We had a slew of faster times. James Goulding has just gone quicker last time around. And that's in the number 55. And that, again, is the Schumacher-Fuchs racing car, the blue and white, number 55 Audi. And I saw another fast time there. A 2.056 for Alex Davison getting a run in the triple two. It's an interesting entry, that, with two bronze drivers in the Scott Taylor Motorsport. Scott himself and Jeffrey Emery, balanced by Alex Davison and one C. Lowndes, who is well known in this parish.
Young guy, goes okay. Bright future, could achieve some things. Gee, Jeff Emery's a very good bronze driver to have success here. He's a, I think, eight-time national champion in circuit racing here. He's won the local GT World Challenge a couple of times. He's raced in the development series. He's run just about everything and hugely experienced behind the wheels of everything. As we go red flag for the first time in this session, with the 999 in front of the 75 and then the 912 Porsche in third. Patrick Niederhauser just got behind the wheel of the 74 Audi for his first laps of Mount Panorama this afternoon. Jordan Love shown behind the wheel of car 24 and did a 2.048 actually to put that car in fifth. And just to show you how competitive this field is, without all of the pros having cycled through these cars, there's 1.2 seconds covering 13 cars. There's 1.7 covering 16, but we've seen that 16th place Lambo go much quicker than that today already. And Fraser Ross behind the wheel of car 65. So we haven't seen Chaz Mostert behind the wheel here, and he is quick. And we're hearing the issue is an off at the chase.
Oh, so that will not be a small one then. Off at the chase. See if we can work out which car it is.
And the reason I found this out is because a vast majority of our team that will join us tomorrow, John, are watching from the top of the mountain in the beautiful sunshine.
Yeah, they're out sunbathing, aren't they?
I've got a flurry of text messages. Excellent vantage point from about 2.5 kilometres away.
And as you mentioned, sunshine, Krailsy, never fails, but the clouds have come out and put the sunshine behind.
See, that'll frustrate them. They'll want to be out there when this happens because the track tends to go quicker.
Well, I've found Lucas Stoltz, who's gotten out of the Mercedes. You were on such a good lap, your first flying lap out there, and put down a time good enough for P2. Clearly, there's a lot of speed in these Mercedes this weekend.
Yeah, at the moment it's 1-2, so I'm quite happy. We're still working to find a nice balance, but yeah, track condition is already really good, and it's every time a pleasure to come here and do a lap around Mount Panorama, and yeah, so far I'm just enjoying it.
Sharing the car again with Jules Gagnon and Kenny Habul, it feels a bit like magic. You're repeating the same thing that you managed to put together last year, and Kenny said that he put this driver lineup together right at the end of the race last year. So how long have you been thinking about this race?
Yeah, probably since last year. I mean, last year was for sure tricky conditions and a Pro-Am event. This year is full Pro, so it will be really, really tough for us. But I think with Akotis, we have a good crew around us and obviously a really nice car. Same livery than last year and, yeah, just try to repeat the win.
Has the fan response been any different towards you this year as a defending race winner?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of fans in the paddock, and they notice you and take pictures, and you have to do a lot of autograph. But I enjoy every minute, and yeah, as I said, it's just nice to be back here. And yeah, especially in full summer here in Australia, where back in Europe it's winter. So yeah, I'm just enjoying.
It's nice to be able to spend a week here, go to the beach, maybe relax a little bit in the sunshine, and then go home and go skiing, right?
Yeah, true, but still the pressure is on us, so we do the work first, and then they may enjoy the sunshine.
Thanks, good luck, Luca.
Thank you.
The missing car is the blue number 52 Wheels FX Racing Mark car. That's the one that looks like the Mustang. It is actually named as a Mark II V8 Ford Mustang. And we'll just wait to get some
more news of that, but there is quite a lot of damage around the front end of that car. It's been, as I said, you don't have, well, if you have a small incident at the chase, then you've been very fortunate, but it looks to have been quite a substantial one there. We'll wait for more details. It was behind the wheel of that car.
Keith Kosielke behind the wheel.
Okay.
That's had a very, very high speed off at the entry, and it's gone across the gravel on the inside, getting a flurry of messages. Just waiting to get some more information about that. In the meantime, we're under red flag. The clock continues to tick. There is some room for race control to extend a session if they deem it necessary to get some more laps. 8 complete so far for a majority of the cars at the front, and it was Raffaele Marchiello in the 999 Grupa M Racing AMG, the 2039, first of the day. This will be a pretty substantial red flag to recover that car, so we'll get you an update in just a second. And the word is that, so the driver is Keith Kosielke. He's launched the car over the chase on driver's left as you get to the turning point there at the left-hander, and the car has tipped over. We understand that Keith is talking to officials down there, so that's great news. It's a big place to have an off, John Hindoff. You know, we rattle out the line as often as we can that it is the fastest corner in the sport, and it is, but what it means is that the approach in the braking zone up the hill there is equally as rapid.
It is such a tough complex of corners. These cars, the first part of it, the right hand turning, have enough downforce to attack that part of the corner at ridiculous speed, but that leaves a very, very small braking area as you're coming up the hill. You've also got to go across the crown of the road there as you come through the first left-hander. But I'm not sure Keith got that far round, to be honest. That's a kind of an old-fashioned straight on at that point by the look of it. We're not speculating about what's going on there. And we'll get back to you with some news. Our safety crews and recovery crews, as ever, have sprung into life and doing their job very, very well indeed. Under 15 minutes to go.
And just to confirm, we have got word from race control that he is communicating with the recovery team down there, which is great news. So thanks to the team upstairs for those updates. They're working on that situation and making sure that the safety of Keith is A-OK first, and then worry about getting the remainder of the session in. While we wait for an update on that, we do often take the opportunity, John, on Fridays to talk to our fans. And we had an amazing turnout today. I think probably 50% of the Bathurst school population took most of the morning off and ended out here. It was a great vibe.
And so enthusiastic. Loving the look, the sound, the smell of motor racing. That's the next generation. That, you know, that's fantastic. And fair play to Bathurst schools for bringing the classes out there. There's things that can be learned as well. This can be, it can be incorporated into learning modules with the technology and all of that that goes into this, but also simple things like arithmetic and counting the difference between times and things like that. And various initiatives down through the years have been done on that. And I think it's brilliant. And if you've got this on your doorstep, why wouldn't you bring a class or a couple of classes out on a beautiful day like this to do a little bit of experiential learning?
And this is leading to some better news, I'll tell you in just a second, but I've had a message from a few fans that are watching from the top of the mountain. So to Brian, Ange, Bryony, Beck, Chad, Tunners and GT. I don't know who they are, but just absolute random fans who are enjoying a nice day at the races.
Itinerant fans that just sloping so around.
Some of them, I would imagine, have never been here before and just experiencing it for the first time. The good news is that Motorsport Australia Race Control confirming that Keith Kosielke is out of the car in the hands of the team medical crew that will look after him, which is fantastic news.
Car is upside down. It was on its roof when it came to a standstill. So all correct procedures being done there. No longer do, and thank goodness, motorsport's been absolutely at the forefront of changes to how patients are looked after in accidents. No longer the old scoop and shoot, as it used to be called. Get there, scoop them up, get them away. It's now very much a procedure which came from motorsport, even out outside of racetracks. Get there, assess the situation, stabilise the patient, and then make a decision about what happens. And we in motorsport have got a lot to be thankful for on the advances in how accidents are dealt with nowadays, and along, of course, with Crailsy, the safety features built into all of these cars, things like hands devices, wraparound seats, all of that, all of those, still relatively recent. I remember when the hands device was being talked about and first was being mooted. That, you know, that's in both of our lifetimes, and the amount of injuries that must have saved or made lesser down through the years for a relatively simple idea.
Halo, similar sort of example, isn't it, in open wheel racing? Let's just project forward, shall we, 24 hours, and look towards who takes the Alan Simonson Pole Award home. Chaz Mostert, the first driver to claim it twice with an unbelievable last lap, which was all down to the final sector. Ironically, where this red flag has been brought out now, but breaking into the chase up the hill and then the final corner. I'm looking at these times, and we've just had confirmation that, as I start making a point, that the session has been declared, so the session will not resume, and that is due to the recovery required to get the Mark II entry out of the sand trap just in front of the Ridges Hotel there. So the car has... Just to, from what we've been able to piece together from this incident, the car has gone off after the kink. It's gone straight across the infield gravel trap. It's launched over the road. So Mark Winterbottom, 2007, great race style.
Yeah.
It's then gone across to the other runoff in front of the Ridges Hotel. And the car in the sand trap, we understand, has tipped over. So on its lid. But there is tyre barrier damage down there as well, which is being repaired, and that's the reason why this session won't resume.
So we've lost about 18 minutes of that session. Let's catch up with Shea, and then we'll wrap things up here. The good news is that Keith is out of that car and was talking before he was extracted to the medical teams there. Shea, down in the pit lane, what's going on?
One thing that I'm stunned by, John, and this is proof of the pudding as to why Team WRT is so good at what they do coming into every motor race. No other team has been practicing pit stops, and no other team and drivers have been practicing driver change besides the number 46. So the 32 WRT team has been doing tire changes relentlessly, whereas it's been driver and tire changes for the 46. As I said, everyone else on the pit lane has been waiting to go back to green. They've been using the time and using it very well.
If you can pop up to the 999 and see if those guys are standing around. 203.996 is the best time there. Crailsy, make your point about the lap time that you were going to there. Quite rightly interrupted yourself with the...
If you don't, man, we've still got 8 minutes of how long we were planning to talk for. Mm-hmm. So I was just going to say, looking forward to that session, and qualifying here, regardless of race, is always utterly sensational. And the 12-hour has only been won from lower than seventh once, so it still plays a role. You want to be at the front in that mad hour as we run into daylight tomorrow morning. But just running through the times so far, so we've got a second covering the top nine in that practice session, abbreviated practice session, and there were cars there that never got an opportunity to run for a second time. They just plugged other drivers in, so they were winding up to do more. Go down to 13th to Brenton Grove. He's done a very nice job to punch out a 205.2 to end up 1.2 seconds off. But then not even in there, Danny Junkadella for Craft Bamboo Racing, Richie Stanaway 19th and 18th, the two Mercs, they will 100% be contenders in the shootout. Lee Holdsworth 17th in the Audi. The Lamborghini ended up 16th. Fraser Ross 15th in the car that Chaz Mostert put on pole last year. So you look at that 1.2 seconds covering 13, that should be 1.2 covering as near as makes no difference 20 cars.
That,
Does that give them a slight disadvantage when they're going for the fast times tomorrow because they haven't had a chance to do the new tyre low fuel run, or will they have to do that in one of the sessions tomorrow?
I don't think so. It's still two practice sessions to go tomorrow, plenty of time. Before we wrap up, can confirm to those of you not at the circuit today that practice 5 and 6 will both be streamed in sound and vision tomorrow morning.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's
an originally
addition.
In the plan.
Right.
We've just thrown that one at the crew.
Bonus coverage, as we call it.
We've thrown that in the crew. So
haven't just made that up.
I have not.
Please tell me that
hand on heart has been signed off by the crew down in the TV land.
He's done that because they're up on the mountain watching, John.
Well, exactly, and they have to commit to it now. I've said it. They're not here to stop me, which is the best thing. No, 100% confirmed. So that will be free to view via the 12-hour social channels, via wherever the race will be streamed. You'll be able to watch that in Australia as well, in sound and vision. And then we go live tomorrow from 12:30 local time in Australia on Fox Sports KO and the 7 Network around Australia, Sky Sports New Zealand, and then our streaming partners, including Radio Show Limited, which will have the remainder of the weekend in full broadcast coverage.
And I'll tell you why that's happened. That's because the ladies and gentlemen who do all the hard work in setting everything up have got it done early. Yeah. Seriously, they have been working like the clappers here to get us up for the audio sessions, and they were going through stuff this morning, and every so often we'd get something added on. We've got that done, we're just going to give it a go, see if it works. Right, okay, we're going to leave that with you now. And we've had video for quite a few of these sessions, limited video as well. So congratulations to the whole team for putting this together as quickly as they have. So an additional session with FP4, which was never meant to be streamed. FP5 was, but FP4 will be bonus.
Five and six.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, so 5 and 6 tomorrow will both be streamed, and then we roll into qualifying over two parts in the afternoon, which will be split by the shriek of a V10 2.4-litre V8-powered RB7 Red Bull Formula 1 car with Liam Lawson behind the wheel carving up Mount Panorama, and above it, Matt Hall carving up the sky in his Red Bull Air Race plane.
So that brings us to a close for today in terms of the action for the Liquid Moly Bathurst 12 Hours for 2023. Shea Adam, before we let you go, basically quietly working through the programme down there in the pit lane. One or two people have had problems. We've had that change of car. We had the work on the hallmark number 9, but generally speaking, it sounded pretty normal down there today.
Yeah, it seems as if everybody's pretty happy going along with their plans, and I'm happy because you can still hear me back here. I'm on the backside of the pit lane. I've walked down to the 999, and the driver who set the fastest time actually disappearing. Lello, sorry to come bug you. I know that you're off doing important things, but it's fastest time at the end of the day. That's a good feeling, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was in December last time I was in a GT car, then Daytona in a P2, so I mean, I was not so comfortable, let's say, yet in the car because it was a bit different from what I was driving last time. But, I mean, it's always nice to be back here. The car is working well. The team is doing well. So, I mean, it's still long to go. We didn't drive much today, so there is still a lot to discover.
Tomorrow's when the important stuff starts with 2 one-hour practice sessions and then qualifying, right?
Yeah, I mean, even tomorrow we don't have so much time here. I mean, we would like to drive more, but Bathurst, we know, is always like this, and I mean, tomorrow, yeah, we have this practice. We will try to maximize what we discovered today, and to go on quali.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well done, Shea. Absolutely brilliant to hear from the quickest driver. Now, the brilliant team at Replay in our gallery truck on site here have been able to find a little bit of footage for us of what happened to Keith Kasulke coming down through the straight. Just no retardation at all. So he got to the right-hander and hit the inside curb pretty hard there, Krilzy.
I got a feeling that there's the braking issue in the car there.
It certainly
so
looked like
it was at the point where he turned in to the left-hander. So at the KW Suspensions Chase, you come through the kink, then you get the car straight and square and brake, you're going uphill, and he turned the car in, and it switched very, very hard on him. That put him to the inside of that curb. It was launched into the air and then ended up across with quite undiminished velocity. I'm just having another look. If you're near a super screen at the circuit, you'll be able to see it. So he gets the car in, turns it in. It launches over the curb, and it probably spends 25 metres with all four wheels off the deck, and then it goes into the gravel, and it's gone straight across that gravel trap, John, and hit the tyre bundles in front of the ridges.
He knew early, because that wasn't the right line there. And that car is, the front is 4 or 5 feet off the ground and then going up even higher than that. I'm not sure the Wright brothers went that far in the first flight at Kitty Hawk. That's a scary moment for Keith Kasulka. I can make light of it because we know he's out of the car, by the way.
He couldn't get that stopped.
And I think he knew that pretty early because he goes at a he turns in much earlier at a shallower angle. And I think he's trying to get it to go straight into the gravel trap to try and turn more left to go into the gravel track. That's an extraordinary thing there. We'll see if we can get a word with Keith when we back up tomorrow.
And the reason the session was called wasn't due to the recovery of Keith. It was due to damage to the tyre fence.
Correct.
To the tyre bundle. So that car's gone straight across at full speed. And because it spent so long in the air, it didn't have all the opportunity to slow down. And then it's gone into the tyre bundles in front of the Ridges Hotel and caused damage to the safety systems around the circuit. Fortunately, the car has done its job, but it did end up, after the impact with the tyres, it ended up stopped on its lead upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. It's clearly bounced and gone upside down. Pirelli tyres are great and they give you fantastic grip. Not so much on gravel and none at all in the air.
No, they don't work when they're flying.
No, indeed not. The good news is that Keith's out of that car. We'll find out a little bit more, I'm sure. Thank you for being with us today. It's been brilliant to be back from my personal point of view, and I know Shea feels exactly the same as well. Krilzy, thanks for having us. Let's go off and do a bit of talking to some fans. We're going to be down at the Oxford at about 6 o'clock this evening, together with the guys and girls from Shakedown for our usual collective meetup. And we'll meet you back here tomorrow for more action. Check all the websites for details. If you go to Radio Le Mans, our live programme schedule is right at the bottom of the main page and it auto-corrects to your browser time. If you're listening on 103.9, thanks for spending our Fast Friday together. Been good to have you. Take it easy on the way back. Leave the speed to the professionals because we want to see you back tomorrow. On behalf of Krilzy, Shea and the whole production team here, especially our hard-working riggers who have done a great job here today to get us all up and running a little bit earlier than expected. Have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye for now and bye from Bathurst.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.